The title of our study today is Isaac's Bride. I find the story of Abram sending his servant back to his own country to look for a bride for his son, Isaac, so endearing and full of great truths. Let us start by reading part of the chapter together to get the great general outline and then see what lessons we can learn from it. Let's read the first part of the story as recorded in Genesis 24, verses 1 to 9. Abram was now very old, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to the senior servant in his household, the one in charge of all that he had, "Put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I am living, but will go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac." The servant asked him, "What if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to this land? Shall I then take your son back to the country you came from? Make sure that you do not take my son back there," Abram said. "The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me on oath, saying, 'To your offspring I will give this land,' he will send his angels before you, so that you can get a wife for my son from there. If the woman is unwilling to come back with you, then you will be released from the oath of mine. Only do not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of his master Abram and swore an oath to him concerning this matter. I do not want to misuse the time in reading the entire chapter now. If you wish to pause and listen to this study by reading all the 66 verses of Genesis 24, it will give you a more concise understanding of the story. So just to give you a brief overview of the story, Abram, realizing he will soon be leaving his family and go to be with his heavenly father, wisely wanted his son Isaac to find a suitable wife who in turn would pass on their family lineage. So Abram asked his senior servant to go back to the land he had left, to his own family line, and choose a wife for Isaac. The story describes what the servant experienced and the wonderful outcome. What a beautiful story, what a wonderful servant, and what a beautiful lady Rebecca, Isaac's bride-to-be, was. A great partner for Isaac. It is always a joy to watch the development of a relationship between a young man and young woman, and to see their relationship blossom, to become aware of their hopes for their future together, to see a sincere love for each other develop, and to see a level of servitude towards each other that will stand the test of time. In this story, there are a number of ways this story symbolizes the type of Christian marriage God expects and the various experiences we can meet during our Christian walk with God. In my early youth, I would often listen to Bible teachers using this story as an illustration of the Holy Spirit and the church. Abram's servant is a type of the Holy Spirit. God, through the Holy Spirit, is in the world today seeking out a bride for his son Jesus, the bride being the church. As always, we need to spend a little time to outline the background to the story, first looking at Abram and his family. We read in Genesis 11 that Abram, who was originally called Abram, was a direct descendant of Shem, one of the three children of Noah. Abram was indeed a godly man, a man of faith, a man who would hear from God and obey him. We read in Genesis 12 verse 1 that God spoke to Abram and said, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Today we still hear of men and women who have had a call from God. They're people of faith. They know in their heart God is calling them to serve Him, often not knowing where. But they had a faith to believe God would, through some way or other, show them where. The Bible tells us a little about Abram's character. We read in Hebrews 11:8-12, "By faith, Abram, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore." Again, we read of Abram's faith being put into action. We read in James 2:20-24, "You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abram considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abram believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, and not by faith alone. Two important truths stand out. First, Abram was a man of faith, and he trusted God implicitly. But what is so important about Abram that he did not just believe God, but he put his faith into action. What a privilege for Abram to be called a friend of God. Because of the faith Abram had in God, and because he put his faith into action, taking God at his word, God trusted Abram to do what he asked him to do. These are the qualities God expects of us as his ambassadors, to not only have faith in him, but to put their faith into action. The Apostle Paul, writing to James, says in James 2:18, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds." In the opening verse of this chapter, Abram is making a very important decision, a decision which would not only ensure a stable future for his son and heir, but would have great blessings in the future for the whole of mankind. Many years before, God spoke to Abram in Genesis 12, 1-4. We read, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people and your father's household, to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you.'" Abram wanted his son to marry a member of his own tribe in the country whom Abram, in obedience to God, had left behind. As he was now old, Abram needed to send someone who he could trust implicitly to go back and look for a bride. So he asked his chief servant. Let's remind ourselves what transpired in Genesis 24, verses 1 to 4. Abram was now very old, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to the senior servant in his household, the one in charge of all that he had, "Put your hands under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord thy God of heaven and the God of earth that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I am living, but will go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac." The servant, whose name we do not know, had the daunting task of seeking out a bride for Isaac. We can use the servant to symbolize the Holy Spirit. So in this story, what can we learn? The Holy Spirit throughout all Scripture takes on a very humble position. He acts as a servant. But as the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead, he has great power in what he does. He never exercises his own will. He only does what God instructs him. Abram's servant acted just like the Holy Spirit, with integrity. He humbly did only what Abram asked him to do. I am sure this story runs parallel with the prayers of all Christian parents, that is, that their children would meet a Christian partner. Having that prayerful desire like Abram, who wished for his son to have a bride from his own family and culture, it so changes the dynamics of a marriage relationship. They will be jointly in union with God, allowing him to guide them in all aspects of life as they build a future together. Being in union with one another, they're able to enter into all the blessings God has for his children. I've often quoted from Ecclesiastes 4 verse 12, which reads, "A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. A weaver, when making a woolen thread, has to twist the threads together to bind them together to give the thread strength. If we are to have a rich and rewarding marriage, we need to allow the three strands to entwine to give it strength, which is husband, wife, and God. We will be strengthened, blessed, and bound together in his love." How can we apply these three principles to our Christian life? Are there lessons we can learn from Abraham sending his servant to seek out a bride for his son Isaac? Notice that Abraham gave a very clear instruction to the servant. In Genesis 24, 3 and 4 we read, "I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I am living, but will go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac." The bride he chose was from his own people, not the Canaanites, who followed strange gods. So as Christians, the same principle applies. We should seek out a partner who also is a Christian, one from our Christian family. There are friends who I know who were married before either of them became a Christian. Then once one partner became a Christian, a number of restraints did arise, which at times can become testing. It is good if there is a mutual understanding between them, which allows the Christian partner to continue with their personal devotion to God and be able to attend church services and the various functions connected with church life. The guidelines Abraham was setting out in sending his servant to his own people we can apply to ourselves when looking for a partner. We can use Abraham as a symbol of God the Father. Isaac is a symbol of Jesus who is seeking to build the church, which the New Testament refers to as the Bride of Christ. Abraham's servant is a symbolic type of the Holy Spirit, who was sent to seek a bride. Like Abraham's servant, it is vital as a single Christian we ask God's divine help when seeking a partner to marry. Otherwise, it can bring a great deal of disappointment, sadness and frustration if we marry a partner who is not a Christian. Often one finds your unsaved partner not wishing to talk about your faith. They will also not wish to be part of your Christian family. It can be very hard. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 we read, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what does righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Great responsibility falls on parents to guide their children into a Christian environment, meeting with Christian youth clubs and activities. We have heard the reactions to couples that have fallen in love when one is not a Christian. The illustration has been likened to the one Christian partner standing on a table and the other non-Christian partner standing on the ground. Love overtakes the relationship, with a Christian partner bringing reassurance to their friend, saying, "I will pray that with God's help my partner becomes a Christian." But in this illustration, which one is the strongest position to help or hinder? The non-Christian is in the strongest position and often known to pull the Christian down. The Christian partner finds their loyalty is drawn to their non-Christian partner, which overtakes their loyalty to the Lord and to the Christian church and friends. As it is said, once a hot coal falls out of the fire, it soon goes cold. Sadly, this can happen to a Christian with a non-Christian partner. They find themselves living just an ordinary life. They become unhappy because inside that God-given joy they once knew, a fellowship with God and friends, the sense of belonging is now missing. Notice another important thing Abram said to his servant in Genesis 24:6. He, that is God, will send his angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son from there. We read how nervous the servant was in seeking to fulfill the wishes of his master. We read in Genesis 24:5-8, the servant asked him, "What if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to this land? Shall I then take your son back to the country you came from? Make sure that you do not take my son back there," Abram said. "The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me on oath, saying, 'To your offspring I will give this land,' he will send his angel before you, so that you can get a wife for my son from there. If the woman is unwilling to come back with you, then you will be released from this oath of mine. Only do not take my son back there." Notice Abraham insisted the servant did not take Isaac back to the country they had come from. The old was past. Abraham reassured the servant God's angel would go in front to guide him to the right bride for Isaac. In our day-to-day walk with the Lord, we should not be complacent with carrying out the tasks our God has laid out for us. I want to share an experience like what the servant experienced by sharing how God led Chris and I during the early days of our mission work in Romania, which God has so privileged us to be part of. We met a Christian lady who had set up a Christian orphanage close to where we were working in southwest Romania. It was a Moses at the burning bush experience. The lady offered us land in Romania, which we, through generous help of fellow Christians, were able to buy and build a church. After this extraordinary encounter, on our return home, we felt led to ring up one member of our prayer group that met in her home and share the news. She responded by saying she had been spending the day in prayer and fasting on our behalf and wished to share a scripture with us. The scripture she shared with us was what God said to Moses prior to him leading the Israelites from Egypt through the desert into the promised land, Israel as we know it today. She read from Exodus 23, verse 20 to 33. The opening verses read, "See, I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared. Pay attention to him and listen to what he says. Do not rebel against him. He will not forgive your rebellion, since my name is in him." We did indeed experience an angel going before us to prepare the way, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, we're able to develop this special work for God. Please listen to part two, where we will discover how God undertook for the servant in a wonderful way.